This is Miff Warhurst on ABC Radio.
Question for you. Do you or your folks, your parents, have trouble using social media or getting online in general? I know in my family, my mum, she's all across it. She's totally on Facebook and does all the socials. And also Dad has probably never looked at the internet in his life and doesn't want to. So there's two camps there. Digital natives, though, who grew up scrolling on an iPad before they could read a picture book, I reckon they must take their digital literacy for granted because it might not be as easy for those of us who came to the online world later in life. National Seniors Australia have conducted research into the digital habits of older Australians. Its CEO, John McCallum, joins me. Hello, John.
Hello.
And also broadcaster and CEO of the rideshare app Sheba, George McEncrow.
Hello.
And we have 90-year-old Valerie on the phone. Hello, Valerie.
Oh, hello.
Lovely to talk to you all. Now, Valerie, first we'll go to you. Tell us about your online habits. How often are you online?
When am I ever offline?
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes, I won't say it rules my life, but I couldn't live without it. I mean, I use it for all sorts of things. I had a period where I wasn't using it so frequently when iPads and things came in, so I went off and did a short course. But everything from banking to potentially shopping to the whole box and dice. I can elaborate further if you want me to.
Oh, that's fantastic. What about social media? Are you on Twitter, Facebook?
Yeah, Tinder. I don't use social media so much.
Tinder, Valerie, are you on Tinder?
You're swiping right and left, Valerie.
I use it socially in the sense of, you know, lots of entertainment. I sort of organise online, constantly in touch with my family, making arrangements with friends, all that sort of thing. And I guess the only time that I don't use it, if I want to write a very personal note to somebody, then I do handwrite it. Carry over at my age, instead of just emailing somebody a congratulatory one, I like to write to them. But yes, it's endless and I don't know what I'd do without it.
Oh, Valerie, that's fantastic. John, how does Valerie's story align with the research that you've done with National Seniors Australia?
I think Valerie's a super surfer in our survey, I think, Miff.
Super surfer.
A web surfer, of course. Yeah. And that's very typical of people over the age of 80, actually, would you believe?
Yeah.
That they're doing searches. They're doing banking at least once a week, typically. They're using Facebook to connect. They do some shopping, and it's all a very good idea. Mind you, that's not everybody who's digitally literate. Some are digitally disengaged and not in this survey because of that.
Yeah.
So that's about 10 to 20% on average, and many of those would like to be, I think.
That's right. Well, George, what does your digital life look like? And when you were designing the app for Sheba, were you considering seniors using the app?
Yes, I was. And we did have a big issue with people wanting to use the service and not understanding that it had to be. We had one woman famously ring up and say, "Now, where's the app store? Is that next to Maya?" And having to say, "No, it exists in the ether." But look, we have such a range of experiences, and you never want to be assuming that people don't know, because there are people like Valerie who are all over it, and then there are people who are much younger. You know, I think in most schools in Victoria, at least, it was 1988 when computers came into schools. And so
I remember the floppy disk.
Yeah, the floppy disk came in, and that. Just that line, I can almost draw a line through our drivers and our passengers who were pre or post the digital age, and just their level of confidence as they approach things. So usually once people sit with it and they get a bit comfortable, they're okay. But I myself, even starting this, didn't really know much about how to send out MailChimp or use a whole lot of various tools that were online and so brilliantly clever and conceived.
Yeah. What about your folks?
Useless.
What's their digital
life?
No,
look, they're getting better. I actually tagged Mum in this post before I came on the show to say, "Mum, listen up," because she gets anxious. She was anxious when her phone used to ring. It was like there was a small hand grenade going off in her pan bag. Dad took to it like a duck to water, but Mum was a bit more anxious, and she'd use Facebook like text messaging, like, "Hi, Susan, are you coming to play cards on Thursday?" And you say, "Mum, the whole world doesn't need to know about your game of bridge," but she's getting the hang of it now and likes it, I think. Facebook in particular, she's fond of.
Valerie, when did you come to really getting into working online and living online?
Well, I suppose in my working life, I certainly had experience of it, and then I had a bit of a break. I thought I'd retired, but I hadn't actually, because I still had some assignments, and that's really when I got into using it for professional reports and things that I was doing of that sort. But picking up what Georgie was saying about older people, I think one of the critical things is the whole teaching and learning process, and I've found that if I'm really stuck in a major problem with my computer, I've tried two sources of help. I've got a grandson who's a computer science degree. He'll rush in, fix it in 2 minutes and say, there, Granny, it's all done.
Tech support.
I have to say to him, Jack, go back to the beginning and take me through slowly.
Yes, show
me. As opposed to a daughter I've got who has got an education degree and actually was teaching the Wharfies data entry when they first got digital. She will do it very differently for me. So I think, you know, that whole approach of how it is taught and learnt is very critical for coming online.
Yeah, I love these texts that's just come through. My grandmother picked up computers late but learned to type on a typewriter. She was fairly competent but went through a lot of keyboards with the abuse she put them through. That's fantastic.
Keyboard tossing nanas, look out. Yeah.
Now, John, back to you. I know that your research indicates that many older Australians are very engaged and are digital literate, but anecdotally we hear of many who really do struggle. What do you recommend for those people?
Well, we recommend that people do as Valerie did, talk to family, but also get out into the community, into libraries and so on. I think what we need are digital mentors, not necessarily formally, but people who will help, and there are within, for example, our club memberships, there those things exist and we work with those to bring people up. They work very well in libraries. Libraries are wonderful places for people to go and develop some skills. And I think one of the comments we had from somebody was, look, just get to the point of doing a search and push the button. And see what happens.
Yes, you won't break it. You won't break the machine. Mum kept thinking she'd break the toolbar or something. I'd say just, they're quite well built, Mum. They'll even withstand you.
Yeah.
And I think the one thing that I picked up from Georgie is that we're really talking about a whole range of experiences and skills. It's not a divide. Yeah. It's not even digital natives and immigrants, really. It's a spectrum of skills across all age groups.
Mm. I've got Professor John McCallum here from National Seniors Australia, who's the CEO. Valerie Pratt, who is online and pretty much better at the internet than I think you and I are. George McEncrow is a teacher, radio presenter, comedian and CEO of Sheba. And we're talking about the digital lives of Australian seniors, saying that it is much more, they are much more competent than perhaps we...
People give them credit for.
We know about. You spoke earlier of the different categories that you came up with, John. What are they? We had the super surfer, which is Valerie. What are the other categories that you came up with?
Well, Miff, we thought we'd have a bit of fun with this as well as some serious analysis. So we came up with, we looked at a whole range of things, how many devices people use, how often they use them, how comfortable they are and so on. So we have super surfers who are very comfortable. They're the Valeries and they do digital technology every day sort of thing. And then we have savvy surfers who are just a bit under that. They're not quite as comfortable, don't use it as frequently. Sometimes people who use it when they need to, and, you know, it's sort of like, well, I've got to use it now. It's not like it's a fluency they have. And then your seldom surfers are people who can use the internet but rarely do so unless they really have to or something comes up. And then, of course, there's the category, which are the people who are beached. So they're actually still on the beach, not surfing.
I see what you did there and I love it. George, what would you rate yourself as? These days you'd have to be a super surfer, wouldn't you?
I'm pretty good at understanding what goes into the programs that we use, the different languages that are in our app. But I had to come to terms with, you know, things like Java and Heroku and Swift, and these are the kind of programs that form, you know, the underpinnings of our geofencing technology and things like that. So I can talk very comfortably about them, but I still get that anxiety that I think a lot of people, I mean, I know I look amazing for 50, but I still get anxious when I'm asked to engage with a new program. So an Excel spreadsheet that I have to add columns to or things like that, I feel it in my chest. I feel this kind of I'm going to break the internet with this move. And then I look at some people who are perhaps a bit more comfortable and they're willing to be playful with it. And I think it's that headspace that you get into about how you approach it. It's like, if I make a mistake here, the whole world will, you know, disappear beneath me. But yeah, I think there's confidence. There's so much digital confidence, and we talk about this a lot at work, getting our drivers and riders to be digitally confident and, you know, confident with the literacy around their finances as well. And I think the two often go hand in hand. It's some women, it's felt like this isn't for me, this space is not for me, and we gradually take them through, you know, a place where actually this is for you and there's a whole world there for you.
With your survey, John, does something like age make a difference? You surveyed people from 50. Are the folks at the older end, like 80 plus, more likely to be on the beach side of things and probably less inclined to use apps and make use of that sort of those sort of things that might make their lives easier?
Yes, they are, and that's really an accident of history. Even in some earlier ages, people who are used to mobile phones find the smartphones a bit too much. So there's that sort of effect of being left behind. I mean, if you're at work, you typically get trained in technology, and if you don't or if you do that, you can still talk to work friends and say, well, something's gone wrong, how do I get this fixed? When you're out of work, That's a different world you're working in. So there are larger groups there, but I think with so many things in government going online and business and shopping and so on, it's really important that people begin to get access to that. And one of the things I'd say, Miff, is that there's a lot of savings that come to business and government when they go online, but they need to put some of that back into, you know, proper training and
educating
opportunities for people to use the services that are there.
That's right. Valerie, what about amongst your friends and those that maybe aren't quite as adept at the online life as you? Do you share your knowledge? Do you let them know where they can find out more?
Well, interesting enough, the two people that I have in fact tried to suggest that they get online and do more. They're both males, both in their 90s, don't want to know about it.
happy
even
now
the wives are reluctant.
Yeah.
But most of my friends are a bit younger and they're already connected. But yes, I certainly sing the praises, as John has done, about libraries and your local resources, because that's what brought me up to speed when I felt I was getting a bit behind. And frankly, you know, I couldn't start the day without checking the traffic if I'm going shopping. What the weather's going to be like, all that sort of basic stuff, and even checking out how I deal with mould on my native orchids, getting online to find
out. Well, it's all there, isn't it? Like,
it's
you can
there.
YouTube
yeah.
just about anything
yeah.
and say, oh, gosh, I had to do it the other day to fix something on my TV, and I was like, I'll just follow the instructions, and sure enough, you find the answer. But, yeah, it's just that confidence to approach.
That's right.
What about the issues of scams? We hear it all the time, and I think it's been National Scam Week this week. Is it a real concern for Australian seniors? They do seem to be targeted a lot more. Is it? I'll check with you, Valerie, and then go on to you, John. Is it a real problem within the seniors community?
Well, I've had it constantly on the phone, those phone calls that one dreads, and they're usually about 5 o'clock at night. That's regular. I've certainly had scams on the internet, and I don't open anything that I'm not familiar with, either the person, the email or whatever. It's like any virus, you need your flu shot. So I connected to the Australian Government warning series on what are the latest scams, and one tends to look out for them. But yeah, I mean, one's got to have the proper restraints on your computer to begin with, and just be very cautious about anything you're not familiar with. Spelling is one of the favourite things that you can pick up quickly. If the spelling's wrong and the accent seems to go with it, then you know you're in for trouble.
John, what about from your perspective? Is it a huge issue? And that is contributing to, I guess, people being quite fearful of getting online?
If it's the new face of elder abuse coming in through technology, and something that used to be local, you know, things happened locally or in families, is now an international activity and a multi-billion dollar industry. So everybody's exposed to scams. We found that approximately a third of our people had been victims of scams, so being exposed and being a victim are different. And it was more likely for people with lower digital skills to be victims, so quite a significant difference there. And that brings us to another point, which is people with lower skills tend to be people who struggle to find the money to keep their internet going and to buy the new technologies. And then they get caught into friendship, which becomes a love scam or a financial scam. They're either ashamed or they lose money, and it becomes a part of a cycle of disadvantage, which the internet is contributing to. So that's an area we really do need to focus on and build up the skill as well as the resilience of, you know, being able to deal, as Valerie's described, being able to pick things and just say, well, that's silly, I'm not going there.
George, what have you had to do in order to ensure that your app is safe and secure for all of your users? What kind of levels?
It's very high tech, the programs that we have to run constantly. Because of the stupid thing of our driver's licenses, which really shouldn't have as much information on them as they do, they're really just meant to say, hey, this person can drive a car, but they're actually now used as a fundamental identification kit. So we have to be incredibly mindful because we collect so much data from our drivers, not so much from our passengers. We keep that to a minimum because, you know, we don't need it, but also it's the more data you have, the more at risk you are. But keeping that good data hygiene is really crucial. So, you know, emptying out your spam folders, not opening things that you don't recognise. These are just habitual things that people have to, you know, practice, especially if they're first, which is usually the case. I think as John and Valerie pointed out, it's usually email that people first come into contact through, you know, the digital, move from analogue to digital via the need to answer emails, either through a government department or their banking, or someone makes you, drags you kicking and screaming into it.
And can I share a public service announcement? Can we stop sharing those copy and paste texts on Facebook? If you share this with three friends, it's like
so threatening. I hate them.
It's like the chain letter of the 80s pre-internet. I've got George McEncroe, who's with us, teacher, radio presenter, comedian, CEO of the rideshare service Sheba. Valerie Pratt is with us, who is online all the time, and National Seniors Australia CEO Professor John McCallum. We're talking about the fact that when it comes to navigating the online world, Australian seniors aren't struggling as much as perhaps we first thought. A couple of texts here when it comes to learning. Annie has suggested write your own notes in your own words when you're learning and pop into your local neighbourhood house for some help with it. That's some great advice. Will in Coogee has said, I get a little peeved at the preconception that older people aren't great with tech. My mid-50s generation, Generation Jones, or those between boomers and Xs, were the ones that had to do all the tech support going under the computer bonnet for their bosses during the difficult developing days of the 90s. That's so true. I often feel I have better problem-solving skills than those so-called digital natives who never had this struggle. That's an interesting one, Will. We've got a couple of calls as well. Wendy, hello.
Hi. Hi, how are you? It's a great discussion. Thank you very much for bringing this up.
Yeah.
I am, almost a senior. I'm 62, but I've been on disability pension. I spent most of my life working in offices, so I was very IT literate. But since I've been on a disability pension, and I've used most of my super, I can't afford to pay for the annual update. So when I recently did buy an update, it was totally alien to me. But the main reason I'm calling is my brother, who until last year ran his own small business. He is 66 and he had a brain tumour, so he had to have the tumour removed. I contacted the council recently to get a disabled parking permit for him, and like all government departments now, they suggest you print it out off their website. So I had to explain I didn't live near my brother. He's in Clayton. And that he wasn't able to print it out. He's gone from being a very well-functioning person to being, well, disabled, basically.
And that would make it very, very difficult to go online?
The presumption that everybody can access a PDF form and a printer and download
absolutely.
And then send it back and, you know, the signing of things. And
so there's a real divide, isn't there?
There is.
Valerie, have you found that as well, that there is that divide between, that assumption for people that can utilise the technology and then people with disability or people with...
Regional and intermittent internet.
Travel,
you know, that's a real
issues.
Problem. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I've got a similar experience. I had to recently have my licence endorsed for prescription glasses, and I happened to be over at what is the New South Wales Gov Centre at a large shopping centre, so I thought, oh, instead of doing it online, I'll zip in there. I waited for half an hour before I got attention, and it took another 20 minutes for that to happen. And while the staff were very good, I could see them helping other people. There was a queue of about 20, by the way, helping older people with the digital, you know, things that they had to do online. But it also occurred to me, you know, if you are a very senior, you don't have transport. While the New South Wales Gov and the Commonwealth one will be useful, it still doesn't solve the problem for people with a disability, as just been explained, and the government going digital on practically everything.
Exactly. Mm. We've got a final caller before we run out of time. Hello, Annie in Melbourne.
Hi.
Your 91-year-old dad, is he good on the internet?
Well, he's passed away now, but he was an engineer, and when he finished engineering, he thought, oh, I'll find out a bit about computers, and he ended up lecturing in computer science.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
that's amazing.
And so he was my go-to for a long time. One of my sisters is 67, and she was right at the forefront of computer science.
Brilliant. See, that goes against every assumption, doesn't it?
Yeah,
that
just
the older
never
generations
want to make
are
an
not
assumption.
As computer literate. Yeah. And do we need to drop these assumptions, do you think, finally, John?
Absolutely, and I think some of them have a degree of ageism in them.
Yes.
Might just be a bit there. And I think one of the interesting ones, we were talking about men and women, we found that women are more likely to be in the super surfers than men. So
that's interesting.
Interesting thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think it's sometimes when a husband tries to explain anything to his wife, you instantly shut down. It's like you just don't want to hear it. It's like I'll hear it from anyone else but you. I don't know, maybe that's just me. But there's a great service called lively.org.au, and a friend of mine who is the founder of that, she does a lot of work in this space of linking. If you don't have a nearby young person to help you out of a glitch sometimes, this is a great way to get that companionship and support.
Who runs lively.org.au?
A lovely woman called Anna, and she was a not-for-profit, and she was another female founder where I started my first business. So she's a really interesting person, partnering youngies with people who, if you can't grab a nearby nephew, if you can't grab a young person and you're wanting to embark on this go from analogue to digital, not
brilliant.
A bad way to start.
That's a brilliant idea. That's lively.org.au. Thank you, everyone, for a great conversation about all of this. Thank you so much, George McEncrow, Valerie Pratt, and
pleasure.
Also John McCallum for joining us today.